And welcome to Thrift Shop Biography. This is the one about Rod Stewart. Thank you for listening. So, this week, we've been reading Rod Stewart's autobiography. And in fact, before we start, I actually, because I haven't asked you this, what did you think of Rod Stewart before you read the book?
Well, he's always been a massive fashion guru to me.
Fashion. He wears tartan.
Do you know what I always say?
I just said you look like Rod Stewart's daughter.
Yeah. But I always go, would Rod wear this? If I'm putting something on, I go, would Rod wear this?
He would.
Think of my coats and everything.
I'm looking at you now. Rod Stewart would wear that.
I attempt to wear nothing now. Rod Stewart wouldn't wear.
Hey, and you wear it well.
Hey, nice. That's my big connection with him, is his fashion.
Really? Yeah. It just didn't occur to me. I don't think of him synonymous with fashion whatsoever.
Wow.
But I guess I'm just not into fashion in the way you are.
Yeah, but now you've read his book, you can see how much fashion means to him.
For sure, yeah. And it really plays a part in his success, of the fact that he looked quite different, like back in the 60s and 70s.
He's passionate about it.
He's passionate about his hair.
Yeah, buying clothes. Early on, he earned money and then go and spend it on clothes.
Yeah, I love there's a whole chapter devoted to his hair.
I love that.
It's so far, I've never read a book where the person spent a whole chapter talking about their hair.
A whole chapter.
But it's amazing hair.
Can we mention that the chapter titles are hilarious?
They are, actually.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. This book really surprised me. I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I... Well, yeah, I did, because I enjoy autobiographies, especially...
And musicians.
Musicians. Yeah. But what am I trying to... It's slightly above all that, and it's just so funny.
Yeah, he's really light. It's like having a chat. He chats to you.
Definitely.
And it's like, chapter 13, in which our hero sings to Auntie Beryl at the Albert Hall, trips over his trousers and a banana. It's like that. It's great.
So the one thing that I loved was that he essentially came from nowhere. He didn't have any family or contacts in the music industry. He's just a working class lad from North London, Archway. Yeah. And he just had a passion for music.
He did, but he also had a passion for football, passion for women.
Yeah, I think he carried on with all those things throughout his career.
That's what I mean. I think he's just a person that really lives to the full. Yeah. Passionate about everything. He's just a full-on person.
Do you think he's one of those people, like Madonna, for example, who you think she was always going to persevere and achieve success in her life?
Probably.
Do you think that Rod Stewart is that kind of personality?
Yeah. I think it's just... Yeah, it's weird, because although it says he's scared... And he was hiding behind speakers and things like that. He's very confident. He plowed on all the time.
He was so young.
Yeah.
When he... Oh, right. So he was gigging, right? Mm-hmm. And he had his harmonica and stuff. And then it's that pure chance meeting with Long John Baldry on, the train platform.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because he's playing the harmonica.
That's how he got his foot properly into the music industry. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That really is. You know, you can have all the talent in the world, which he does. He's an amazing singer. But he still was in the right place at the right time.
But he was playing his music at that station. So he's confident enough to sing.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people who get somewhere are facing adversity. But he never was. He has a good foundation, very confident. He's never going to be afraid to get beaten up on the station if he plays his own. There's no fear. He's just out there.
That's the thing. Just to clarify, he's not playing music on the train station because he's busking. He's waiting for a train one night on the way home.
Yeah. It's just pure confidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the way.
And then somehow, also at that station, I forget which one it was, Long John Baldry was also at that station, and he heard a harmonica on the wind.
Yeah.
And I guess went to see who was playing it.
Offered him a job.
Offered
of singing
him a job.
Without even hearing him sing.
Yeah, right.
That's just like the bloke.
Well.
But he's very charismatic, obviously.
Yeah, I get that. Like, even the parts where he's a kid, you kind of get that he just has this kind of cheeky charisma.
Mm.
It's endearing to read. The whole book is endearing.
Yeah.
Even though there's bits we'll get to, which I kind of think, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But you still can't help but like him.
Yeah, you can't, no.
Yeah, and I think that's perhaps what... I mean, let's think about, what you knew of him before reading the book.
I never really heard anything bad about Rod Stewart. He's never really had terrible press, has he?
No.
And like, if you ask the average person, they kind of just, even whether they like him or not, they know he's kind of a good un, right?
Yeah, he's a lovable rogue, isn't he?
Yeah,
which they all are, aren't they? Aren't they those rock and roll blokes?
Well, no, I wouldn't say they're all lovable at all. I think some of them are downright nasty, aren't they? Yeah. And
I guess so. And like, you would never say that about W. Axl Rose.
Well, I don't know. Well,
less lovable, you know what I mean? Whereas Rod's a...
What's wrong with Axl Rose?
Well, he's got problems, hasn't he? Whereas Rod's Rod's just like, woohoo, the football,
yeah. he's just
they
excited.
They lift him up on the shoulders, you know, he's a man's man.
He's a Labrador. He's like a golden Labrador in a man, isn't he?
Yeah. With an edge.
With an edge and a really good singing
voice.
Lovely
scarf.
Yes, and hair.
Some Labradors have lovely hair. Why did we pick Rod?
Because you found it in a thrift shop.
Did I?
Yeah, you sent me the photograph of like four...
got three or four choices and Rod was just there.
You got Eric Clapton.
Yes, that's right. Because I'm not sure I'd have selected him as somebody I'd particularly want to meet. I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, his music isn't my music. I like it, but it's not.
That's very interesting, because his music kind of is more what I'm into. But I have to say, I listen to it a lot. I can't say I've ever bought a Rod Stewart album.
I haven't. But then you read that book and you realise, oh, God, that song, oh, that song. Oh, that's so part of my childhood, Baby Jane, for example.
Yeah.
Massive, huge.
Do you know what? See, I'm a couple of years older than you, and I remember the stuff from the end of the 70s, and that's just, and I have to say that when...
We are sailing.
Do you know what? I have real trouble with that song.
Yeah.
I find it so emotionally moving. Yeah, I really do. Huh. Yeah. Don't quite know why, because I've never really been sailing. But
I just remember drunk people singing it coming out of the pub when I was a kid.
Really? Yeah. It's an easy song to sing when you're drunk, isn't it? The things like You Wear It Well, Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Do You Think I'm Sexy is classic, but that's
I Don't Want to Talk About It and all that. That's in the book.
Yeah.
Like Blondie, right? Rod Stewart is like blues and rock. Blondie were rock. And then when the proliferation of disco came up, which is a massive musical movement, they both dipped into it.
Yeah.
And their actual like original fans.
Yeah.
Really didn't
hated it. I do remember seeing a documentary years ago when he lost huge amounts of his fans
for doing
that
song.
Yeah, wow. They betrayed the folk people.
Yeah, he kind of talks about that in the book of wondering whether he'd gone too far.
He does, and he says that the men, you know, looking at him in leopard print G-string, like, how can
G-string.
They, whatever, something like that. How can you go in the shop and go, I want this or I
think? Yeah.
Embarrassing. But he says he's singing in the third person.
Because
it's telling a story, but no one picked up on that.
Yeah.
They just thought it was Rod.
And of course, people see the cover of a picture of Rod in leopard skin and says, do you think I'm sexy?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get where the confusion comes from.
The man's man hero suddenly goes, oh, awkward.
There's no room for nuance.
No.
But it's still a tune.
It's my favourite Rod tune.
No, is it really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
I like the bit when it goes, that little gap. It's all instrumental.
Yeah, just that bit.
I love that bit. I was going to turn it up.
No, I kind of like the more, not the folky stuff, but the more acoustic stuff. The stuff that really showcases his voice.
Mm.
You know, where you can just sit and you just, that's an amazing voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really.
It's unique.
Yeah, he deserves his place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He does.
So, hang on, thinking we've really jumped ahead to, 1980s. So, hang on, so Long John Baldry found him on a train station and said to him, come and sing in my band.
Yeah. 35 quid a week.
34, which was a lot of money a teenager in 1917, maybe. So then from there, I mean, this is how he's so amazing, because, you know, he didn't come from nowhere. He spent those formative years going from band to band, really honing his craft.
By the best.
By the best. Was it with the Faces where he really came out front for the first time? I can't remember.
Jeff Beck was pushing him up front as a singer.
Jeff Beck, there you go. Yeah. And then he was in Steam Packet with like Julie Driscoll and Brian.
Yeah.
I love the way just like
amazing.
Everyone is in this book.
He says things like, oh, yeah, we're with Mick Fleetwood. Whatever happened to him?
Oh, yes. So he was also in a band with like two members of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Amazing. They were all there. Yeah. Do you think that is of the time, of Rod's time? Because I was kind of thinking, if you read a biography of a music person now, would they all cross over so much?
Probably they wouldn't, they?
Do you think?
Especially producers and that sort of
thing. It's more studio orientated now. I just wondered if back in the day, when music, rock music, was still kind of new, you know, it was only really broke through in the... Mm. It kind of started in the 50s. Like rock, not like blues, it was obviously back in the day. But what we know as like rock, white man rock and stuff, only really broke through in the 60s. I wondered if it was because not that many people were on the gigging circuit at that point, so everybody literally played with everyone.
Yeah, it's probably true. And there's the Marquee Club and then that Eel Pie Island and all those places. There's not that many of them, are there? So they all see each other play, they all know each other.
And amazing, because like the Rolling Stones are in this book, like right at the beginning, and they go to Eel Pie.
Ronnie Wood. Ronnie Wood's probably the love of his life, isn't he?
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, actually.
Yeah, is Ronnie Wood still alive?
Yeah, he is. All of the bloody Rolling Stones. Oh no, the drummer died.
Yes.
They're all out there.
And didn't one of them die, which is why Ronnie Wood joined the Rolling Stones, because somebody died?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I thought they were invincible. I thought they never died except until recently.
It's such the ones that did.
Yeah.
So he's in all of these bands, really learning his trade. But it's interesting that he kind of says, you know, he's been doing it for years, and then I forget who the bass player was, but a bass player came out and started throwing his guitar around, and then that led to Rod Stewart, like the tricks with the microphone and chucking it in the air and stuff. So it was just a decade of a learning
experience.
It's
an apprenticeship,
learning on the job.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Yeah. And it's why it's so authentic, you know. Yeah. It is undeniably just a rock icon, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because he was in there from the beginning and he really toiled massive tours, you know, playing to two men and a dog in one pub and then playing with famous people in front of a much bigger crowd. He really did it all.
Yeah,
and it shows. But this whole book is down to earth, though, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It's kind of like about an ordinary man who had an extraordinary life.
And he knows it. And which is really nice.
Yeah, and you know, he kind of really enjoys all the trappings of fame.
Yeah.
And amazingly, kind of, I think his level-headedness. Yeah. He says, now hang on, he says at some point later on in life when he was on stage, he started hallucinating. Why was that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he was in his mother's kitchen.
Yeah, because he was on strong steroids for his voice.
That's
is that right?
That is right.
Yeah, but that's a medical side effect. It wasn't because of cocaine use or anything.
Yeah, it sounds like he dabbled, but he never went mad.
Never admits to it in the book.
Yeah, but he actually specifically says, "Oh, who was it?" He said, "Come on, you've got a party and we've got to stay up all night." And
he said, "Keith Moon."
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And he said, "I've got to go home." And he's like, "You wuss, or are you pussy?" I don't know what he said. And he wouldn't let it go.
Yeah, but exactly. Rod Stewart called it an early night. Keith Moon didn't.
Yeah.
He was a dead one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He does say he participated, he wasn't really up for getting absolutely out of his head.
He also said that he like never bought any at any time in his life, which is amazing because it was just always there for him.
No need, is there?
Yeah, it's just there. If you're a massive rock star and you want
Queen never bought
cocaine.
Any cigarettes, did she?
I thought you meant Freddie Mercury.
No,
the Queen didn't smoke, did she?
Well,
Margaret did.
I've heard
20 Lambert and Butler
rumours that she smoked sometimes.
Oh, I bet, yeah, she did, because she was back in the day.
Yeah,
she was in society a lot in the 1950s. Yeah. She had a nice cigarette in her holder,
what was
for
in
sure.
Her handbag. She didn't need any money. Anyway, she never bought any. That's the point.
No, you're right. So the book does deal somewhat with his recreational drug use.
Yeah.
But it always, sensibly, is that the right word?
It wasn't excessive. I mean, I've read enough biographies back in the day of, like, when they, they end up on heroin, don't they, when they go that mad? Almost.
Yeah. But do you know why? Because he was always very conscious of his voice.
Very true.
And he would know, like, I think he says that he could feel that it was drying out his...
But that doesn't stop a lot of them.
No, it doesn't. But I think, you know, just reading about Rod's early life, which was very normal and seemingly secure. You know, he doesn't talk about any terrible things that happened to him.
No, he doesn't have terrible demons to battle. Yeah. So he doesn't need to try and get completely out of it. And he was really enjoying himself. He was loving his cars. Yeah, you might get a bit drunk if you've got a beautiful car, but you're not going to off your face and drive your beautiful car.
But he did say, where was it? At the Oval. Cars.
Yeah.
He went to a day out at the Oval and he got into, he'd been drinking.
Yeah.
And he got into his Lamborghini and the policemen were just chatting to him and waved him off.
Right.
And
it's, that's
which, and he actually says that would never happen these days, but like in the 1970s, it was. Well, it was kind of, not that it
it's
was
that
fine.
Different time thing.
He didn't have to wear a seatbelt.
No. No, you didn't.
And people did drink and drive.
Yeah. I tell you something we haven't even mentioned yet. Women. It almost loves...
Do you know what?
He loves the chase, but I'm not sure he likes the people.
I have to say, a sizable portion of this book towards the end is basically talking about women and his relationships and his dalliances.
All the way along, really. Right from the first woman that he ended up having a kid with, which I didn't know about.
I didn't know that.
And he literally says, well, she was adopted and he... went to the hospital, saw it, didn't even meet it, didn't want to, left the hospital, never thought about it again.
Let's just say, sorry, just to make it clear for people listening, this happened when he was a teenager.
Yes.
Before he became Rod Stewart. It's not like young.
Were they sort of 17, 18?
Yeah, so he had a girlfriend.
Yeah, had a girlfriend.
She got pregnant very quickly. She had the baby.
Yeah, they mutually decided they didn't want
to give it away.
Too young. They gave it away. But he actually says... And I walked away from the hospital and that was the last I thought of it, or that was the end of it.
That's an incredible admission, actually.
Because how can you not think about that?
Yeah. I think that reveals something about the personality and maybe something, you know, like we're saying about these, like the psychology of an icon, a massive star.
Yeah.
Maybe to survive in the music industry, maybe you do have to have a level of disconnect.
Yeah.
Or you become a massive drug taker, a massive addict, which he doesn't.
No.
So maybe the way he's dealt with stuff is that he can disassociate himself from things. Because, that's amazing that he had a baby and just didn't think of it
again. There's no poetry about it. And it sort of bothered my mind. But I tried to put it aside. No, left, didn't think about it. Moving on, game of football.
Do you think it's self-preservation?
I mean, it seems like a conqueror of women and situations like that and doesn't engage.
Because the thing is that as he got older and had... Before he had his own children... Sorry, so he had this child when he was a teenager. But then to begin with, before he then went on to have more children of his own, he did have relationships with women who had children already, and he loved them.
He did seem to.
So he's...
But then at some point in the book, it's these are my top 10 tips on being a dad, and they're all completely childish pranks.
Right. Oh, do you know...
Put a bowl of water over a door, things like that. And you're like, were you the kid with the kids...
Oh, like it's
with the woman doing the real parenting, and you were just
an extra kid,
yeah.
Well, you know all those like rock star shenanigans in the book. I mean, they're so childish.
Yeah,
but he admits it is due to boredom.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff they did was actually ridiculous and so childlike.
Yeah.
But again, I guess other people, when they're that bored, turn to drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And he turned to...
Well, absolutely hammered most of that time as well.
Yeah,
at least.
Going back to the women, I have to say, I loved this book and it made me love Rod. When I got to the bit about his treatment of women, it kind of just made me think, oh, really?
It's difficult.
Kind of, he was... You know, even saying he was a cad kind of romanticizes it a bit.
Yeah.
He's just basically an arsehole.
He is.
But a charming arsehole.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. And it's difficult because, it's just Rod Stewart. But those women had a shit time.
Yeah, they were real people in a relationship, as far as they were concerned, in a relationship with a charming man who was.
And wooed them and won them over and put them on pedestals. And then went off after other ones. And
then other ones on top of the other ones.
And then he said this pattern just continued. So then if they said they wanted to leave, he'd go, no, I love you, I want to marry you, I want your children. it's psychological torment, because then they think, no, I believe you, and then it's just out there the next night. Oh yeah, three at a time. It would make them feel like shit.
I mean, also, like, he was getting ready to propose to one of them, like, that day.
Yeah.
And he still went out and met the other woman. It's just like, why the hell are you proposing?
Yeah.
He chartered a plane to fly a wedding, will you marry me, so that his girlfriend would see it and he could do a romantic proposal. And then between the time of booking the plane and the plane going up in the sky, he changed his mind and wanted to be with someone else.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think he met someone else that day or something.
Crikey.
Oh my God, I'm in love. But he's not in love. He's in lust, and it's a beautiful women. Beautiful.
He has a type, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. they do really all look the same.
They all look the same. They are beautiful, tall. Well, she's still a leggy blonde, isn't she?
Yeah, she's
supermodel.
Just slightly different. The others are incomprehensibly the same.
But Rachel Hunter was younger, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was like the first young one.
Yeah, she was 20. Oh, she was 21. I think they split up by the time she was 27. And then a few years later, he met Penny.
She was 27.
So
do you know what? All the way along, like with Alana, his first wife, and then he talks about... See, I can't even remember all the names. There's been so many. He went out with two at the same time called Kelly,
right?
Which is really convenient. Yeah. But they were all relatively his age, which really surprised me, because, you know, stereotypically, they go out with younger women. You can't say, all right, fair play to you, Rod, going out with... Yeah. Women your own age, until he meets Rachel Hunter. And actually, he doesn't reveal her. I didn't know how old she was in the book, and you're used to him being with women his own age. And then he talks about this beautiful woman that he'd saw on the fitness advert on TV.
Exactly, yeah.
And then she's only talks about, oh, she's beautiful, and she's 21, and Rod at this time is like, what, 45?
Yeah.
You kind of think, oh, okay.
See, he falls in love with an idea, because he falls in love with people when they're on telly or on a film, and then pursues them relentlessly. So he's not falling in love with the personality.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah, you're right.
He's not even seeing if he likes them. He thinks he's completely in love with them before. He's falling in love with beauty and an idea of it.
Yeah,
which is a damn shame, because somebody like Ronnie Wood, he loves this personality.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And respects them because he knows them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of annoying. It is a little bit annoying to me, this
throwing
away of beautiful women.
Because I love Rod now, I really try to rationalise it in my head, kind of making an allowance for him, thinking, if I was one of the most famous rock stars on earth and I had a literal disposable line of supermodels wanting to spend their time, I'd probably do three at the same time.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty good opportunity.
I can't help but think that each one thinks they're the one and thinks they're so lucky. It's the actual reality of their experience.
Yes.
I can't shake it, how they must be felt and how shattering that would be.
I think, though, that's his fault, because I got that they were really into those relationships and, well, they moved
children.
In. And,
As soon as you've had children, you're not...
You kind of think you're with... Yeah, okay.
The bubbles burst, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of this...
It's a real shitty thing to do to the mother of your children anyway. But not... Right, not that it's ever a good thing. But if you're open about it and you have that conversation and say, look, there's somebody else, but he was constantly cheating on people behind their backs and them finding out in the worst possible ways.
It's almost... It's the build-up of they're a goddess and then they must be nothing. Because...
Yeah.
So it's like... Hard to get over, I think, probably. Once you've had somebody adore you like that and then treat you like you're nothing, that I can imagine it's really left a row of crushed souls, beautiful souls.
Yeah.
Beautiful people with, I don't know their souls, because it doesn't actually really describe you.
We need to read
like.
Their books.
Yes, we do.
We need to find the books of Rod Stewart's wives.
Good point.
But
one of them's Stacey's mum.
Stacey's but she was the one who kind of paid him
back. The only one who got away,
Rachel Hunter,
without being crushed.
She got out first and she broke his heart.
Yes.
Now, did all of them have the opportunity to break his heart, or he just beat them all to it?
I think he beat them all to it. I don't think they were around long enough.
And Rachel, but here's the thing. All right, Rachel Hunter left first and broke his heart. What? And I know he's getting older at this point.
Yeah.
But is he changing? And just at the point in the book where I'm thinking, Rod, you're an arsehole. These women do not deserve to be treated like this. He actually comes to the realization that he knows he's a terrible partner and he's going to spend the rest of his life on his own because of what he's done to these women. It took him a long time to realise that. Yeah. But he got there.
Yeah.
But then it's after this that he then met Rachel.
Yeah.
I think it's only 4 months
later. He didn't change his ways.
But no, she changed his
ways. Yeah, she did,
because she broke his heart.
Yeah.
Good.
But that did stay with me, that bit when he said, if I've messed it up with someone as upbeat, because she was so positive and upbeat, and he managed to break her.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
But this is the man who juggled numerous women all at the same time, like literally letting one out the side door and letting one in the front door.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite an achievement.
It's you've got to have a lot of energy. It's high energy behaviour. Yeah,
definitely.
When he had a wife at home with kids, then he went to Elton John's for a week, living it up in his Windsor house. But because it was a little bit gay there, he imported a nice American model to keep him company for that week. Then when they flew back to America, they suddenly realised that the press would be waiting and they'd see them arrive together and it'd be in the paper. So
his wife would find out.
Yeah, his wife would find out. So he sat her 3 rows back on Concord, accidentally next to
Rupert Murdoch.
Yes.
Is that anyone worse?
Just not breathing in case she says anything. Why is she there? Oh, yeah, but also,
you don't want the press to find out as she says. Yeah, Rupert Murdoch. Amazing.
Yeah. And then he was flying back because he'd seen this beautiful model in a film and he'd wanted to meet her, so he'd have set it up. He told her that he'd written a song about her and he wanted to meet her. Mm-hmm. Of course he hadn't. So he was flying back to go on a date with that woman, but he had this other woman with him. So when Rupert Murdoch on the plane, they panicked. They got their plane phone on Concord, which was kind of unheard of then, and phoned ahead to America and said, get a decoy to meet us at the airport. So a middle-aged, slightly frumpy woman met him at the airport, but the press had already seen these long legs get into a cab, and that was the picture with the article that she was with Rod, because they just knew. She went on a detour to get to the hotel. He went on a detour. They both met up at the same hotel where they were both staying in the same room. And he said, see ya, I've got to go out and do some business. And he went on a date with this woman, Kelly, the other model. And he was like 2 hours late. And she said, who do you think you are? Rod Stewart. And he liked that. And then he fell in love with her that night. Speech marks. He thought he was in love with her because she was obviously beautiful. Tried to sleep with her and she wasn't having it. Went back to his hotel room and slept with the model. And the next day went home to see his wife and kids, who'd read the paper with the picture he'd just flown back in London with the legs. I was furious.
Of course he's furious. He has every right to be furious.
Yep. Then he carried on that affair with that woman.
Oh, my God. So he's cheating on his wife with a model and cheating on the model with another model.
Yep.
And
then by the time his wife realises he's having a full-blown affair with that woman, Kelly, and says she'll divorce him, he starts having an affair with Kelly LeBrock.
That whole plane thing is all happening on one day, right?
That's all one day.
So that's three women in one, well, not sleeping.
Essentially in 24 hours.
Juggling three women in 24
hours. With the press chasing you.
Oh, my God, it's so exhausting. Just hearing adrenaline junkie. It is exhausting. Imagine having to.
That's what I mean. Imagine how much energy that man had.
Yeah. And still finding time to build model railway.
Yeah.
That's such a juxtaposition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Running around with like juggling three women and building model railways.
Yeah, so it's also proof of this lack of stress. Like you say, you can let things go because a stressed person would have a heart attack from
definitely.
The worry. Yeah. He's not worrying. He doesn't worry. He doesn't know.
I bet his mum let him get away with everything when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Because was he the youngest?
Yeah, he was 8 years younger.
So his brothers and sisters were actually older than him.
Yeah.
By a sizable thing. So he was the proper little baby and he got away with everything.
Yeah, he did.
And he continued to, like, his whole life.
Yeah.
Until Rachel Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah.
But then he goes on and meets Penny, right? Have I got this in the right order?
That's the last final current wife.
But hang on. Oh, hang on. What was the quote that you found about, he said, instead of divorce?
Yeah, instead of divorce, I should just meet a woman I don't like and buy her a house. So he doesn't like these women, that's what he's implying.
Oh, right. So he was he married to Britt Eklund? I think he just went out with her for a couple of years, right? So Britt Eklund, after they split up, sued him for what they call palimony.
Oh, yes.
Right? Now, this was big in the 80s, right? And I don't think you can do it, because I don't think anybody successfully did it. So palimony is the idea that you sue somebody for their earnings during the time that you were with them. When, so you don't have to be married.
Well, if you didn't carry on working.
Well, this is the surprising thing about Britt Eklund, is that she was famous herself.
Yeah,
and presumably was working.
Well, he kept saying he kept buying these houses and installing the women to do all the work and interior design. She probably had meetings every day with this wallpaper, this and that.
So what do you think, Britt Eklund put her career on hold to be Rod Stewart's girlfriend?
Yeah, she can't have sued him for palimony if she didn't.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think when you're in Hollywood and people are advising you to do things, Rod Stewart's got $50 million in the bank, go and try and get some of it. She sued him for like $12
million.
And here's the surprising thing. He said he settled out of court. And you think, why? Why is she entitled to anything? She's a rich, famous person herself.
Because he probably cheated on her and she was really pissed off.
Does that mean she's entitled to his money?
No, but she was mad. And the law, maybe the lawyer said, I can get you something. So yeah, I'll take it because I'm pissed off.
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't make it right, but maybe that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
No, but then there's a few cross accounts that, like, I googled somebody when I was reading it. I wish I could remember more. I googled somebody, one of these wives, and they said that when she was with him, he was really tight and he gave her $50 a week for housekeeping or something.
Yeah.
You know, and kept her basically to...
So she just wanted the money that she should have had at the time.
Maybe he was. Yeah. Oh, did it say she had to pay rent?
This isn't Rod Stewart, though, is it?
It was one of Rod Stewart's girlfriends. It said she had to pay rent. Yeah.
What? This isn't in the book?
No, it's not in the book. As I was reading it, I did a little Google on one of them, because I always want to see what they look like and everything.
Yeah, of course.
So I saw a little article. Can't remember which one it was, though, because they're all the same and I'm confused.
They're all the same.
It said that he made her pay rent.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
I mean, he's one of the richest men in England.
It doesn't ring true with what he says, but then...
Do you know what? I don't believe... I think that's her.
She could have been bitter as well.
Yeah, I think she's making it up. Mind you, having said that, we're reading Rod Stewart's autobiography.
Yes, you only read what they want you to know.
It's his side of the story. Yeah.
And there's even a bit in that book where he says, I didn't really want to write this in here, but I know I've got... That's probably the bit you were talking about. But he said, I know I've got to be honest, and I was seeing this woman. I'm not proud of it, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it fits in with his rock star image.
Yeah, and I guess that any autobiography you read of a rock star, you're going to just be getting all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I've got to get over it. Well, I am over it, because overall, it's fascinating. The whole picture of a man's life...
I love it. Yeah, we've both read a few of these biographies. This is a particularly good one, right?
Yeah, it's great.
And it's written so well. Yeah. It kind of made me wonder. There's no mention of a ghostwriter or anything.
Yeah.
And then I kind of thought, why does there even have to be? He's a creative guy.
That's
and he's
what
very
I
chatty.
Think.
He could easily have written them. Because if it is written with somebody else, they've nailed him.
Yeah.
His personality.
It's like he's talking to you.
Yeah. So I totally believe that he totally wrote
this
himself.
I have no reason to believe he didn't.
We haven't talked about Elton John.
Yeah.
And honestly, the bit in here which made me roar with laughter. That's nothing. This book is just so funny.
Yeah.
It's like I'm really chuckling and stuff as I'm reading it.
Do you know what? Sorry, but I've just got to stick up for Rod again about these women, because I've just remembered that a lot of these women are so fun-loving. When he meets them, they're both doing coke and getting pissed and going out in the town, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they always start off loads of fun. So it's not just...
But then
fault.
He impregnates them.
Yeah, that's where it goes wrong.
Just don't have children.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they, stupid?
So it's not his fault.
Do you know when he's going out with that woman called Kelly?
Yeah.
the blonde Kelly, and then he has a fling with Kelly Lee Brock.
Yes.
Now, here's another thing, right? I give a free pass, as much as I frown on people cheating.
Yeah, what if it's
With Kelly Lee Brock, it's kind of okay. You kind of have to give somebody that one, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to have a fling with Kelly Lee Brock?
You're pretty much quoting Rod, aren't you, really?
He's brainwashed me. Oh, God, that awful moment in the book where he's out to dinner with his Kelly after having the fling with Kelly LeBrock.
Oh,
and then Kelly LeBrock sends a note over to the table which says, I miss you or I want to see you again. And the other Kelly reads it. I mean,
if that is just...
That was a... She should never have sent the note.
She did it on purpose.
It's possible, but don't forget this is before she can't WhatsApp him. Yeah, yep. Nobody had a mobile phone. You had to write a note.
But don't let the woman see the note.
And how awful for the Kelly number one to have been there having a dinner with her partner and then to get a note from the most beautiful woman on the planet.
Right.
I mean, how insecure is that going to make you feel? Damn.
Oh, but, you know what? As much as I worry about these women, I actually don't judge Rod. He's a bloody rock star. And the best quote in there, I think, is when the woman goes to him, "Who do you think you are? Rod Stewart." And he obviously loved that. And that is kind of the quote of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because he was being Rod Stewart. And he was like, "I am Rod Stewart, so I'm going to be Rod Stewart."
That would have been a good title for the book.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Rod Stewart. It's an interesting thought that you let somebody off the hook because of who they are and... The opportunity.
I kind of understand. I know enough to sort of understand. He wasn't trying to ruin it.
No,
I carried away with the whole.
I kind of came to that conclusion because I loved it and I continue to love the book. I kind of just made in my head a kind of like, well, he is Rod Stewart.
He is Rod Stewart.
And
he was living it up. He was living the life.
Yeah, I just think perhaps he could have treated the women he was with a bit
better. I would definitely
better.
Say that.
But actually, here's the thing. And he was saying that those earlier relationships and earlier times he cheated on when ended up in the newspaper.
Mm.
So that by the time you're the fourth or fifth leggy blonde that Rod Stewart is getting with, at that point, you should know what he's like.
That's true.
Because it's been in the headlines, right?
That's true.
So you've only got yourself to blame. And also, it's that thing... Anyone, not just talking about rock stars and supermodels, but if you start a relationship with somebody who's already in a relationship, so you've broken up, you've contributed to the breakup of that relationship, they're a cheater.
Yeah.
The person you're with is a cheater. They're going to cheat on you at some point.
Yes, you can never be secure in that.
Yeah. So who cares about any of them?
Yeah.
They brought it all on themselves.
I do wonder whether he... loves Penny the most and stays with her forever because he's just old and it's the best he's going to do now and he's just got wise and his dad's died and he's learned grief and a bit of humility and just learned to be a humble man.
So he is still with Penny now. They've been married a long time and obviously he is an old man now.
Yeah.
But I wonder if Rachel hadn't left him, whether he had already turned that corner.
Cycle.
Oh, you think because Rachel left him, he stayed with Penny?
Humility, then his dad died, and then he realised he wasn't invincible and made him human.
Rachel Hunter, i.e. Stacey's mom, broke the world's biggest playboy.
Broke the cycle.
Wow, she deserves a bit of respect for that,
she
doesn't she?
She does, actually.
High five, Rachel Hunter. Yeah. I wonder what she's doing now.
I wonder.
Oh, I hope she's happy in her personal life.
So do I. I hope everybody is.
Yeah, I do. I hope Rod is. He seems to be. I hope Penny Lancaster is too.
Yeah. I do too. I mean, you want the best for everyone, don't you? Really?
Yeah. Ideally. Rock stars and supermodels.
All of them.
I tell you what I was really glad was in this book was the story. Do you remember it about the rumour that Rod Stewart sucked off a room full of strangers and had to have a stomach pump?
Yeah. No, I didn't know about that.
What, you hadn't heard
I'd
about it?
I've never heard about that in my life.
Well, you see, the thing is, had you heard about that story about somebody else?
No.
Okay, when I was a kid, growing up, I knew that story.
Charles
Hawtrey.
But I think he actually did it.
What?
Well, yeah.
How do you know that? Is it in the Kenneth Williams
movies?
Yes. Is it
really? Yeah. He'd bring loads of sailors around to Kenneth Williams' house.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, carry on.
So... No, I'd heard that story, but it was always Mark Almond, you know, from Soft City.
Yeah.
And so that was the rumour. Well, it seems to be like every generation.
Was it in the tabloids, did it say?
What would that have been in the tabloids?
Yeah, how
Rod Stewart has sacked off of the spirit. That's not a tabloid story, is it?
Well, how did that rumour get out then?
Yes, right. It was, do you know his assistant he had called, is it Tony Toon?
Oh, it was him getting revenge on him. That's
after
it.
After he got sacked.
So maybe he did invent that story.
So Rod Stewart's old assistant, who had been with him for a long time, had an indiscretion, so Rod Stewart sacked him.
Yeah.
And then his revenge. Oh, he fed the press a story. Yeah, so it was a tabloid as well.
What year are we on? Can you remember?
This would be the late 70s. Mm. But do you know what? It's such a ridiculous rumour. Like, you know, like Richard Gere and the gerbil. I mean, it's just clearly not true, but everybody believes
Richard, what gerbil?
What?
Gerbil. What are you talking
about? Richard Gere and the gerbil.
What gerbil?
I know
who Richard Gere is, and I know what gerbils are.
You've not heard about Richard Gere and the gerbil?
No, I don't know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's like the most famous rumour ever. I'm really surprised. Richard Gere.
Yes.
Well, allegedly, it's a rumour.
Yeah.
Had to go to the emergency room and get a gerbil extricated from his anus.
Whoa.
Had you not heard that?
Is that a rumour or a fact? Or you'll never know.
Well, it's a rumour, isn't it? Oh. I mean, it's clearly not true.
How clearly?
Well, because what, you think Richard Gere put a gerbil up his arse?
Well, anyone might do anything. Anytime. I don't know him.
Yeah, I don't know him. I mean, does anybody put a gerbil up their arse? I mean, first,
shot
how?
That's why they got names, isn't it?
Yes. But how'd you get a gerbil up your ass?
But you could put a tube in.
Oh. You could put a tube in.
Yeah.
And put a gerbil in. It'd have to be a tube. Big
I'm making it up. I like, wish I had just made that up.
If you wanted to.
That would be. Never thought about that before. No.
So you would put the tube up first. Oh, let the, just how pulled. Would you encourage the gerbil to run, to like run in the direction of the dark hole, though?
Jeez.
And then what, once the gerbil was in, you'd pull the
tube out. Oh my God,
well,
really?
The gerbil would like die, wouldn't
Look,
it?
Right, okay. People do bad things to people on bachelor nights or whatever.
So who did it to him?
His friends.
Well, are they friends though?
No, I'm spreading rumours now.
It's not the kind of friends you want to hang around with, is it?
It's things you hear that man friends do to man friends.
Yeah.
It's quite baffling.
It is, but I have to say, in all fact, I've not heard really of anybody on a bachelor, like a stag night, not heard of anybody having a gerbil put up their arse.
No, but a pool cue I've heard of.
It's just not as bad,
That's
is it?
That's quite bad.
Do you have to go to the hospital to get a pool cue removed?
Depends. On some variable factors.
Hey, we've really gone down a dark hole here. Elton John.
Yes.
So they obviously have a great friendship.
Yeah.
And there's just one bit in the book which I thought was hilarious. And it kind of does highlight that predicament when you're both millionaires. Yeah. What do you buy each other for your birthday?
Yeah.
And do you know what? The bit where he said Elton's present to me that year was a Rembrandt.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, right?
But he bought him this little fridge. And he thought it was the best present ever.
Yeah, he did. It cost him, he said, the fridge cost him £300. I thought that was enough. And then Elton's present to me was a Rembrandt. Yeah, that's so funny. But here's the funniest bit.
Yeah.
He said, anyway, so this is from the book, Rod is saying, anyway, I played it a bit better on his 50th birthday in 1997. I bought him a full-size sit-under hairdryer like the ones you see in women's hairdressers. 2 years later, Elton marked my marriage to Rachel with a £10 voucher from Boots.
Yeah, excellent.
On the card he wrote, get yourself something nice for the house. Well, that is so funny. It's perfect as well. They are literal millionaires.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gives them a ten. That's so funny. I loved it. I did wonder, weather, because that's for his marriage to Rachel, right? Yeah, so yeah. Rod is like 45, Rachel's 21.
Yeah.
I wondered if it was kind of a burn to Ooh. Rachel. Like a £10 voucher from Boots, get yourself something.
I thought it was more like to be a private joke.
A joke, yeah. Okay, so you're saying Elton's just a nice person.
But didn't know, didn't he? Well, his boyfriend's a lot younger than him, isn't he?
We need. I don't think so, is he?
No, is he not?
I mean, everybody's a bit younger than Elton
Everyone's
John.
Younger than someone else. Yeah.
But he married the woman that's in this book. We need to read Elton's book.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, because he phoned up and said, I got married.
To a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a cover at the time.
Would you like to be married to Elton John?
No.
No, I wouldn't. Would you like to be married to Rod Stewart?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I think he seems like it would be really nice to spend time with him.
The model railway.
Oh, no, you would love the model railways because it's all like building sets and stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Like,
actually, to be fair, I really
Do you know what? That, I had
skills.
That's the first thing Beautiful. In the book which really endeared me to him, and I was surprised at that. The fact that it was nothing to do with music, nothing to do with his, just the fact that he builds model railways.
And then when you get right through the book, you see a picture of it. It looks like a real city. Yeah, hang on, look again at that.
And they built it.
He built those.
In one of their new big houses they went into, he built it over two rooms.
Two rooms together.
Yeah, I love that.
It's dedication. Yeah, just look.
That's what you need.
Those look like just pictures of a city. And you're like, why are those
Holy
pictures
crap.
In there?
Do you know what?
That's his. I
flicked through that and I thought that was just pictures of places he'd been.
Exactly.
That's his model. But that's.
Put your glasses on and look at that really carefully. It's phenomenal.
Wow.
They're much clearer in my book because it's hardback.
I just want to say to people listening who can't see this photo that there are photos in this book which just look like trains passing through an urban landscape.
Like Chicago or something.
Yeah, and I just totally assumed that was just a photo of somewhere he'd been on tour. That's a model railway he built.
He built those houses.
It's astounding.
He painted them. He designed it. He's decided where,
He's a man of many talents, isn't he?
Yeah, he just basically never just slobs about and watches telly, does he?
No.
Ever.
No, he doesn't have time between building model railways and shagging supermodels.
Yeah. Playing football,
How does he
new
do
albums,
it?
Touring, visiting all his kids who he seems to stay in touch with.
He's got 8.
I mean, bloody hell, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a man with a full life.
It sure is. You know, like when you get to the end of the... Like, I love reading about somebody's career, like their humble beginnings and then... But I've got to be honest, when they've been a worldwide star for 20 years and they're 50 years old and they're in Hollywood, I always find these books kind of taper off towards the end. Like, kind of in a nice way, because they've been successful, right? And it's a nice ending, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just ongoing success.
Yeah.
So...
And you kind of think, and like looking back over the whole of Rod's career, there doesn't seem to have been any major disaster or he's just
there's no major drama really at all.
He just kind of coasts. He's not coasting, he's working really hard.
He's a lucky chap.
Who made the best of every opportunity that was through every supermodel that was thrown his way.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, saying that, there is a bit towards the end where he talks about his throat.
Yeah.
So and he has cancer.
A health scare.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely textbook. Anyone's likely going to have a health scare.
But he gets
it early because he's having a checkup, which is a lucky thing of her being rich and famous.
Yeah, for sure.
Have a checkup, catch it early, get the treatment before you've even lost a hair on your head.
Yeah. Yeah, they did carve away a part of his throat, which meant he couldn't even like really talk for 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody who has made their living through their voice.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And you know, at that point in his life, he's got more money than he could ever want. He's got a body of work, indisputably successful body of work. Also, he does it for the love of it, right?
Yeah.
And I think the thought that you might not be able to sing again,
it's
pretty
terrible,
tough to come to terms with. But he did. And here's the thing, he he really worked at getting his voice back,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah. Starting with like speech therapy and then getting the band. And how nice at his original band and stuff at that point.
It's lovely.
All came back and into his garage and were playing with him when he could barely sing
That's
a note.
Right.
But they kept coming back and he sang a little bit more and a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just shows how, I guess, how well he is loved and regarded, not just by us, but within the industry, you know.
And actually, it's easy to read that, and it's so light-hearted to make it, he makes it look easy, but it's that's only the half of it, isn't it?
Yeah,
we haven't seen all the work.
Yeah.
It can't be easy.
I'm sure it's not easy, but again, like we were talking about him at the beginning, like when he talked about giving his child up for adoption and being able to walk away from that. We should mention as well that the book does cover him getting back in touch with his daughter that was put up for adoption. And unfortunately, in the beginning, the connection was made via a tabloid journalist.
Yeah.
So it didn't, it didn't kind of work out in the first instance. But a few years later, they reconnected and they really hit it off.
Now I have a relationship.
Yeah,
which is great. Yeah.
There are other people who have long, seemingly untouchable careers in the music industry, seemingly unbothered, like Tom Jones, for example. Mm. And you kind of think, okay, so some people manage it, manage that worldwide fame, manage the drugs and women that are in plentiful supply, and they tend to come out unscathed.
Yes, yeah.
And I think it has to do with the personality of the person in the first place. Mm. And I think Rod was just made for this life, you know? And I think a lot of it doesn't just have to be come from himself, but also how people perceive him and how much they like him.
Yeah,
he's incredible. I mean, the book is incredibly charismatic, and it's because he is.
Mm.
So I asked you at the beginning what you thought about Rob before you started. What do you think about him now? Now you've read the book.
I don't think it's massively changed. I think I had his number.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Did you expect the book to be as, like, a funny and friendly?
No, it's very,
It's a real surprise.
He's funny. He is funny. And I didn't know he made model railways to the extent that he does. That's the biggest surprise.
Okay. I think it's just, it's a really successful autobiography, and the fact that I felt like I've spent time with him,
you know. What a life.
Amazing.
Yeah. Still going. Brilliant.
And I really get that he appreciates it.
Yeah.
You know,
and
he knows how lucky he is.
Yeah.
And
so many other people have fizzled out. You know, it's to keep it going that many decades is insane.
Yep. Do you know, also what's interesting, you know, we kind of know Rod for being hugely successful in the 1970s, hugely successful in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And then you kind of think, oh, that's it. He's still there gigging and stuff. But also what I found interesting is that, was it the 90s or the first decade of the 2000s, when he started bringing out the songbook albums?
Yeah.
He said that was the most commercially successful career, a decade of his career.
Yeah.
I would never have expected that.
You think it's over?
Yeah.
And then he hits on gold.
Yeah, just a new phase of his career.
Yeah, really suits his voice.
Yeah.
Some of these producers, though, bringing him songs, going, try this, this will be great.
That's something else that surprised. He's very honest about his songwriting, where he's not confident in it, or he would do it very, like, it didn't come easy to him.
No.
And then you kind of think, you wrote Maggie May.
Yeah.
You wrote this, which is an astonishing song, which he says has no chorus or anything, which I think that's a harder song to write.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 6 minutes long with no chorus.
Yeah.
So he kind of, I was surprised that it didn't come easy.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask you what you feel about Rod now.
Rod now?
Yes, after reading it.
Yeah, I love him.
More. Did you love him before? You loved him.
Yeah, no, I did. He's always been there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Since I've been a kid. He's like the Queen,
right? Yeah, yes.
And now the Queen's died.
Yeah.
I have Rod Stewart.
Well, still got Rod. He's a national treasure,
actually. No, he's just always been there. I've always liked him. I didn't expect to really love him.
Yeah.
But I really struggled with the way he treated women. It was so audacious. But then I kind of thought, well, do you know what he is, Rod Stewart?
What do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. And then he did come, you know, he does that admission at the end where he realises what he done and how he treated those women. So you kind of think, okay, but then is he just writing in the book what he wants me to hear?
I don't know. But the rest of his life, he's hilarious and thoughtful and an interesting person.
Also, do you know what I love? I love that he's somehow worked out this amazing life for himself, and he enjoyed and appreciated every single minute.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah, loves and for his, a rock star,
loves his cars, loves his kids.
Yeah. So yeah, good one, Rod. I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it, and I loved him, and I loved him more than I thought I did. So basically, if you're still listening, you should get Rod Stewart's autobiography.
It's
right?
A it's a great read. Good I read. Ripped through it. It's a page turner.
Okay. All right. Join us next week to see who we're reading then.
Exactly.
Good night.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Thrift Shop Biography. We love making this podcast and we're absolutely thrilled that so many of you are already listening. We're new to this and you could really help us out by leaving us a review somewhere, wherever you listen to this podcast. And if you could share us, tell your friends about us or drop some links on social media. We have a Facebook page called Thrift Shop Biography. So make sure you come over there to hear about the episodes first and what else we're up to. Okay, see you next week. And if you're new here, there are loads more episodes now to go and listen in the back catalogue. So make sure you go and enjoy them. Okay, thank you very much.